this is Les filling in for Bruce. I want to get to our guest ASAP. He is Zach Ausnehmer. He is a NASA engineer, and we are going to talk about Perseverance, which is a rover which is going to be launched to Mars tomorrow. Zach, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Thanks. Great to be on. Appreciate it.
So this is the fifth rover. So if you can kind of explain very, very briefly what the first four have discovered.
Well, so our rovers on Mars have been quite the journey. They started out as kind of a demonstration showing that we could do it, and then have slowly built up science as we went along. We've had a mix of both rovers and landers that have done different things. The past rover, Curiosity, is currently still roving on Mars and is actually in a different location looking for mostly habitability signs and how Mars kind of evolved as a planet. Now, what Perseverance is going to do, and it's a little different and more exciting, is that Perseverance, the instruments on board are actually uniquely suited to search for actual signs of ancient life in the rock record of Mars. And what's doubly exciting about our new mission, Perseverance, is that we're actually going to be taking and collecting Martian rock soil samples. And a future Mars sample return mission is going to bring the samples that Perseverance collects back to Earth for further study.
That is amazing. Now, have we brought back any samples from Mars to date, or is this going to be the first time?
We have not. This is the first leg to start the first time we're doing that. So this will be the first sample brought back from another planet.
Now, you have worked hands-on with Perseverance. What is your role in this whole thing?
Absolutely. So I've been on the program for just under 6 years. Originally, I was the lead engineer for the remote sensing mast, which is the tall stick on top of the rover that everyone affectionately calls the head when they take selfies with the arm. So after I delivered that, I joined the assembly, test, and launch operations team known as the ATLO team. And we've been working for the past year and a half or so to integrate the rover's subsystems together. We've been down at KSC putting the rover inside of the spacecraft and then finally getting that on top of the rocket. So we're getting ready to launch tomorrow morning.
Talking to Zach Ausnehmer. He is an engineer with NASA. He's been working very hands-on with the new rover that is going to be launched to Mars tomorrow. What time tomorrow is it being launched?
Tomorrow morning at, I think our launch window opens at 7:50 a.m. We're just under, I think, about 23 hours away from launch.
How long is it going to take to get to Mars?
With our launch window, we take about 6 months to get to Mars. We're landing on February 18th at a location called Jezero Crater.
So you guys can actually pinpoint the date.
Yeah, we can actually pinpoint the date. And what's new for Perseverance is we can actually almost pinpoint the landing. We have a new system on board of our descent stage called Terrain Relative Navigation. What that does is it significantly reduces our landing ellipse when we're coming in through the Martian atmosphere, doing our sky crane jetpack maneuver. It actually autonomously looks at the ground, maps the ground, and avoids any obstacles and collision hazards that we'd have during landing. So what we can do, Jezero Crater is a very interesting scientific site. It's actually an ancient river delta. And what we can do is we can land much closer and start science much earlier and sooner than what we have on past missions, because we don't have to actually traverse to a scientifically interesting location. We can land much closer.
And I was going to say, how in the world do you pick where to land? I mean, where it's going to land, where on Earth would you sort of compare it to the landing site on Mars?
Yeah, so the landing selection process takes years, and it's debated well within the scientific community, and it's down selected from dozens to a small handful to three, and then finally selected to the one that we've picked as Jezero Crater. So what that is, it's actually an impact crater with a river that's flowed into it, you know, millions of years ago, since dried up. But what it did is it created a river delta, kind of a dried riverbed that's rich in carbonates and clays. And what's interesting about that is clays in particular are great at preserving organic matter and biosignatures, which is what we're looking for in signs of ancient life. So we have this is a great opportunity, a great location for science. And just like on Earth, a river delta flowing into a stagnant body of water. They're teeming with life. And while there may not be life presently on Mars, we think we have a good shot of finding those biosignatures.
How in the world do you guys communicate with this thing that is thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away on a different planet?
So there's actually two antennas on the rover. There's a low-gain and a high-gain antenna. And what those allow us to do is we have direct communication to Earth, to the rover, using the Deep Space Network that's operated by JPL. But we also have orbital assets around Mars that allow us to up and down link information as well. But just the sheer distance between Earth and Mars creates quite the challenge. If you recall, Curiosity had a similar time delay during landing. It's about 14 minutes for a signal on Mars to get back to Earth. And one of the interesting challenges is, and why we built so much autonomy into our system, is because we can't have humans in a loop. For instance, our landing sequence, by the time we hit the upper atmosphere of Mars to the time we're on the surface of Mars, only takes about 7 minutes in total. And that 7 minutes is heat shield, jettison, supersonic parachute deploy, the sky crane maneuver, and any obstacle avoidance that we need to do to land. But we have a 14-minute time delay. So by the time in February we're watching the spacecraft enter the Martian atmosphere in the 7 minutes land, because of that 14-minute time delay, the rover's actually already been on the surface of Mars for 7 minutes. So all of this has to happen autonomously, and we have to build in quite a bit of smarts between the spacecraft and the rover to make decisions on its own.
So that's right. So it's not like you guys can push a button and say, oh, my goodness, there's a rock coming. Let's push this button and turn the thing.
Right.
It has to have some sort of built-in sensors that tells it, hey, there's a rock coming. I got to turn. Otherwise, I'm going to be stuck here, and there's going to be literally nothing anybody can do.
Exactly. It poses quite the challenge.
I was going to say, what are some of the other huge challenges? I mean, on the list of what must be challenges, I mean, anything that sticks out?
Yeah, sure. For Perseverance specifically, because we are bringing the samples, because our intent is to take these samples and then seal these samples inside the rover and then deposit these samples on the surface to bring back to Earth, we had to make sure we don't contaminate any of these samples with organisms from Earth that we take to Mars and then end up in the sample tube. So Perseverance specifically had to be ultra clean and super sterile, especially the sample intimate hardware inside of the rover that comes into contact with our sample cores that we're taking, the soil samples. So that was a whole ordeal in itself to try to make sure everything is sterilized and maintained sterile throughout the build and assembly and test process.
And other than just learning, is all this also being done for the possibility that one day people will live on Mars?
I mean, that's the goal, is to be kind of the first step in getting boots on the ground at, to Mars. And one interesting thing that we also have on the Perseverance rover is an instrument called MOXIE. And what that is it's a demonstrator that actually takes Martian atmosphere, which is primarily comprised of carbon dioxide, CO2, and actually will convert that into usable oxygen. So for astronauts, obviously, we need that for life support to breathe, but also that oxygen is used as a rocket propellant and can be used as a fuel source for other Martian surface exploration equipment.
You sound like a pretty young guy. I mean, do you think that in your lifetime, we'll see people on Mars?
That's my hope. I really do hope so. I think we can get there. I'm 31, by the way, so we have hopefully 40, 50 years to get there.
Would you want to live there?
Oh, I'd do it in a heartbeat, but my wife may have something else to say about that.
Yeah, that sounds like something. I mean, why do you think that there is, I mean, you being a NASA engineer, what is your hope, or why do you have a hope that you would want to live on Mars? What is it about Mars that attracts you?
Just the general sense of exploration. I mean, as a human species, we always have this curiosity to kind of explore and go into the unknown. And for me, that would be a great step in doing that, and just one more path on getting our human species out into the solar system.
So Perseverance is going to be launched tomorrow. And I'm sorry, when did you say that we hope to have that first actual sample from Mars?
So sample return is still a few years. I don't have the timeline off the top of my head, a few years away. But we'll be starting to take samples mid-next year with Perseverance.
That would be fantastic. So how many people have come up to you and said, look, I've seen Total Recall. Why are we going there?
You definitely get the odd questions here and there. But what I like to remind people is that even though you may not agree with spending money on space exploration, things for us, even talking on a cell phone, microchips, there's a lot of benefits that come from having to spend money to miniaturize and radiation harden and test things that are required to explore such a treacherous environment like space. And those benefits we definitely receive back here on Earth, and they make our life better, and we use them daily, and you just may not think about them.
Listen, knowledge only increases knowledge. And, Zach, I know that you have to go, so one final question. As a NASA scientist, which is not a kind of person that we meet every single day, what's the oddest question that you've ever gotten from anyone?
So I don't know if it's an odd question, but it's a recurring question all the time. I definitely get asked about the aliens quite a bit, but I have to remind people that that's what we're looking for, and we're hoping to find microbial life. but I do get that question quite a bit.
All right. Zach Ausnehmer from NASA. Yep. Where can people go to get more information about this?
Sure. For more information about the Perseverance mission, head to mars.nasa.gov. And if you're on Twitter, follow NASA Persevere and the hashtag Countdown to Mars.
Appreciate you being on, Zach. You take care, and good luck with the launch. Good luck with the mission. Good luck with getting those samples.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.